To learn on, and we're calling the teaching today, The Glory of God is Coming to His Body. The glory of God is coming to His Body. Since my going online and sharing the word and being able to listen and read and hear around the world, what is happening spiritually, it's what I've always believed God revealed years back to me, that there is still such little understanding of Christ's body and its function. And it's quite interesting how often it's coming up with various Christians, whether it be their church they're going to, or whether they are giving a general diagnosis of the body of Christ, or things that they read or hear. And I've noticed that it's become more and more prevalent, their concern over Christ's body, or ministries that are in the body, or pastors that have taken on the role, and of course the heresies. This is one of the general main topics in discussion, and it simply confirms to me what I believe God revealed years back with regard to the state of Christ's body. And the tragedy, of course, is that in so many of them, he stands outside knocking, waiting to come in. But of course, we see this with the seven churches in Revelation. And when you read these seven churches, you see types today that fit Christendom and various churches around the world. So it's little surprising. But I want to encourage you in the word, in the book of Haggai, where this prophet that God called in which to admonish the children of Israel to continue to build the body of Christ, having come out of Babylon. And I believe this book is very applicable. It is applicable now today, as I think we will hear when we look at this small book. So let's turn to the book of Haggai, and we will read chapter 2, verses 1 to 9 of the book of Haggai. And here it's in the context of where the glory of God is to come to his house, because that is the emphasis. There is no point having an assembly of believers, the body of Christ, unless God's presence is there. And he tells us that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. But we also need the presence of God. And that is what is important. And let's take this up now in chapter 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying. Now, I just want to stop there. It is always a remnant that God has through every century. Otherwise, there is no gospel. There is no church. There is no presence of God. Because the presence of God is amongst God's people. That is how he manifests himself. He is manifesting himself today in this meeting with our presence together. And he goes on, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not your eyes as nothing? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Sorry. So he's challenging them because they remember the former glory in the Temple of Solomon. It's nothing like that. They're lamenting over what it used to be. But you see, God does a new work every time. And we're not to look back at what God has done or he did. It's what he's doing now today. And the enemy is very good to get us to look back and to say, well, we're not like we used to be. We used to be a lot bigger. It used to be much more of a blessing and so on. We mustn't do it. If we're walking, marching with the Lord, we have to keep our eyes on him going forward. Yet now be strong, verse 4, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. And that is the most important thing, that God is with us and his presence. Else there's no assembly, there's no meeting, there's no presence of God. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Exactly what is being said in Hebrews. And you've noted that I have made much about God is shaking the heavens and the earth to bring in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign. Here is a type of shaking that went on there. We are now having the shaking in this last dispensation. And I will shake the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. That you could spiritually say is his peculiar treasure, which we are. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And that is always one of the signs. If you have been baptized, you have been placed by the Spirit into Christ's body to function, to sit under the fivefold ministry, the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, there will always be peace that's ministered to you. Even in turmoil or in shaking or whatever it is, and he's already said that he's shaking the heavens and the earth, which he's doing now. But in that shaking and in all those things we hear worldwide through news and politically or whatever it is, there's still that peace that resides in our hearts, in our fellowship, in our coming together. That is a sign of God's presence. And a lot of assemblies and churches don't have it. And I hear it and I read it. They are being fed heresy, unbelief. Pastors not functioning as they should. There is strife in their assemblies, their meetings, backbiting, gossiping, all of those things. Therefore, you cannot have that peace because the presence of God cannot reside in that. Why? Because it's unclean and God is holy. And we shall look at that in a minute. So there we've introduced you with regard to the glory of the latter reign that will be greater. It's interesting about Haggai because little is known about him, but he does bear his name. In other books, in Ezra mentions him, and also Zechariah, and with regard to the building of the temple. Little is known about his name, but we believe in the Hebrew his name means festival. And that, of course, is appropriate in rebuilding the temple. It's a time of festivity in building and opening the doors to God's house. His ministry and his message was given only in 4 months, and it was given in 420 BC. Now, the reason that God called him was, as we've already indicated, that the Jews who returned out of exile from Babylon, they started to build and then they procrastinate. And they are sad, they're lamenting because what they're building, what they're seeing is going to be nothing like the former temple. It's interesting that his ministry was in actual fact to expose their hearts, and which he's doing. Just like what God does with us, he exposes the heart in which to bring out the sin, to cleanse us with his blood. What for? For his presence. And so he's exposing their heart to remain loyal to the work that God has given to them, and that God will help them. He will strengthen them to finish the job, just like he does with us. He encourages us, keeps us going, keeps us loyal, so that the job will be finished in and through us. But what is the real reason behind all of this? There's always a focal point in the work that God does. Well, it's really quite simple in many ways. It's to restore worship, that the glory of God may manifest again with his people. And that's the ultimate goal, that he's working with us both individually and corporately and with other bodies around the world as well. That's why a vision is so important, because he says, my people perish because of a lack of a vision. And a lack of that vision is they don't know the building through their life of God building his body. This is why I say so often, it's not an organization, it's an organism. And Haggai was used to get the Jews from looking to themselves, looking to their homes, looking to the past, and focusing on their spiritual condition and their ignoring the building of God's house. That's what he was called for. And he did that in that short time of 4 months. Look what he did. You see, God's body is to be permanent. It's a body where we come, where we meet with God, we meet with others. It's a body where our whole being, body, soul, and spirit is ministered unto. Because without the body, you don't have God's presence. And what is interesting that I read so often now online, many are raising the question, well, I can worship God, I can be with God, I will make it into the kingdom of heaven. It's not important that I have to be in a church. And a lot of them are saying that because they've been damaged. How active the enemy is. And I'm waiting on that one to address it at that right time. I'm reminded of Moses. If we turn just quickly to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 8 to 10, where God met with him. And here we see the calling of the church, which was hidden, a mystery. And it was started through Moses when God met with him. And you know the story very well. But look here in Exodus 3 and verses 8 to 10. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, at this point, Moses doesn't come back to him and say, how can you take us into the promised land? Because what you've just said there, there's giants there. There's opposition. He's not raising that. He's just believing what God is saying here. But God's making it clear that the promised land is there, but you've got warfare. And it's exactly the same with us. The promised land is there. God is restoring his glory back into the body, also into FGA, but you've got the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. You war not with flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, dominions. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God heard their cries. And God is hearing the cries of a remnant who want reality with God, who are fed up with religion, hypocrisy. Same type of cries. In bondage they were held, in slavery. And God said, I'm going to deliver them and I'm going to use you in which they will be delivered. Here is the church hidden in the wilderness coming into existence until it was manifested at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell upon that 120 in the upper room. Then it's now visibly seen, now with Christ's head over his body. Can you see these similarities? So the question is, what is God saying today, now? Well, let's turn back to the book of Haggai. And let's look in chapter 2. And we'll look at verses 10 through to 14. This is what God is saying, and this is what God is doing. So let's just read this. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priests concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil or any food will become holy. Then the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. And that is what God had to change, to restore. He had to now start to make them clean in his presence. You see, it's interesting that the law and what he's saying here was to teach. The law in many ways was to protect them. He's saying that you building the house, you're going to build it, restore it, but you now need protecting. Protecting from what? The presence of God, the glory of God that will burn you up otherwise. And so he's raising this question. This uncleanness has to be dealt with. And it's the same today. And this is what protects us. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, ministered by the Spirit, protects us if we receive it and take it into our heart. And he was addressing here, not only protecting them, he was dealing with disease, spiritual disease. He was dealing with lesions that they might have on their skin, or even leprosy, which could be transmitted. He's teaching things which are right and things which are wrong. He's dealing with uncleanness, touching dead bodies, which could be transmitted through touch. So these were the hindrances of building, and they have to be dealt with. You see, that is why the word of God has to be restored for God's body to be built. The same today. And this is why the bride's making herself ready, because the next great event that's coming is the rapture, and we have to be made ready for this. Let's read verses 16 to 17 of Haggai 2. Since those days, when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there was but 10. And when came to the wine vat to draw out 50 bays from the press, there was but 20. I struck you with blight and with mildew and hail in the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. And that is a lot of problem. There are still many who hear the word, but they don't turn away and take heed. Why? Because the heart is still in the world. And that's why Jesus appealed to Lot's wife. It's that important. And that's why God here withheld his blessings. And yet the people still didn't fully turn to him. Look what it says in verses 18 and 19. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundations of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig trees, the pomegranates, and the olive trees have not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you. There is the covenant that God has with his people. God doesn't break covenant, even though they are rebellious, even though at the present time, today, now, Israel is rebellious in what it's doing. But God says, I will not break covenant. And when you are truly born again, called from the foundation of the world, God says he will not break covenant with us either, even though he's still dealing with areas of hardness within our hearts and lives. That is the love and grace and mercy of God. He's faithful because he will bless. Look what he says here to this rebellious people. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens, the earth. I will throw the thrones of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots, those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. There we are. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. So there we are. He will always go back to his covenant, to remind those that he has chosen before the foundation of the world. Here is deliverance. Here is God's sovereignty. Here is the glory being restored for the greater works. And that's what God is doing with us. This is why the word is delivering us. For God's glory and the greater works all the while he tarries. It's interesting in verse 23 that he speaks about, I will make you like a signet ring, for I've chosen you. This ring signifies like a personal signature. It's like if you have a checkbook, you put your name, your signature on the check. And it's a similar thing. Often, you know, rings were used as a signet, as a seal that went on a letter or an important document. In other words, it's highly valid. Here in this case, it's representing God's authority. That's what it's meaning here. It's interesting, in the Hebrew, it means to affix a seal, or it's a seal up. It sealed it. It cannot be open. It can only be opened by the person it is sent to. And this reminds me of Christ in heaven, in Revelation, with all heaven, the throne of God, all the overcomers, all the first fruits, right down from Adam, all there in the throne, and they all look, who is worthy to open, to break the seal of the scroll? And only Christ is the one who can break that seal, and it commences then judgment on the earth. Here it is, a type. It's like a badge. It's an identification. It's a sign of authority. And that's what God says, I will give my servants. And God has now given us authority in Jesus Christ. It's a type. It's a type of the same thing. And that's why he's preparing the earth for the coming of the Lord, as he says in verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I'll shake all nations. And that is what is happening. That is what we are experiencing now. This is why everybody says things are not like they used to be. What is happening? What is happening in society, governments, you name it, education, doesn't matter, in churches as well. Things are not right. They're not like they used to be. It's the great falling away. The shaking is to expose all the powers of darkness. And God says that judgment begins first in the house of God. So this shaking started first with God's remnant. We were aware years back of this shaking starting, this judging, even in FGA. And we're only here today by the grace and mercy of God. I know that I am. God had every right to remove us, but he hasn't in his grace and mercy, because it's for his glory. But this shaking is going on, and it's going to get worse and worse. And what is it for? To shake and expose the powers of darkness. Satan hates this shaking, because there is nowhere he can hide. Note that it's being shaken in heaven and on the earth. Everything, even the universe, is being shaken, which means He can't control that. Even though he's God of this world, blinding the eyes of many, he can't stop this shaking. Because God is on the throne. And he is fighting like he is. As I've said many times, the analogy that the Lord, I believe, reveals, he's like a trapped animal. He's cornered. And like any animal, when you corner it, it will attack. And that's how he is. Because the glory of the Lord is coming to his temple, to his people. And before we are taken up, we are raptured, we have to experience this latter rain, this outpouring that Haggai prophesied. And the big sign to all of this is the shaking that is going on. That is a confirmation to us what God is doing. Isn't it wonderful how God reveals to us what he's doing in his right time? He doesn't leave us in the dark. He doesn't leave us ignorant. He begins to explain when we're ready and we can receive it, what he's doing. The same as when he spoke through Moses. And he said to Moses what he would do, how he would bring them out of Egypt and how they would possess the land. But he revealed the giants were there. They didn't know anything yet about that. It wasn't until the two spies came back that they revealed the size of them that started the complaints and the moans. But God allowed that to happen to expose what is really in their hearts. And he does the same with us. But Joshua and Caleb were of another spirit. In other words, they were of the faith. They said, well, yes, they are big, but our God is bigger. And that is why we are being taught faith, brothers and sisters, for the final warfare that we are facing, that our eyes see the greatness and the bigness of Jesus Christ, who's gone before and prepared the way, who has won the battle at Calvary. And that's what we keep our eyes solely upon. And it makes everything else then look small in comparison. Can you see now the mind and wisdom of God, how he works with us? That is why God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His working, the way he works, is the same from the time when Adam and Eve fell. It's still the same principle in operation. And at this present time, he is cleaning us, he is delivering us, he's cleansing us, because then the presence of God in and through us will build the body for the greater works, for the rapture, for the bride that makes herself ready. And as I close with this, I have always said that the deeper life teaching in nature is deliverance. Every time we come together, it is to deliver us, to make us clean in God's presence. What for? For fellowship, for unity and oneness in the body, for the presence of God. And he raises the fivefold ministry in order for you to be equipped for all of this. So take heart, brothers and sisters. I know it's a battle. I know there are times of feelings of despondency, and the devil can get so vocal. But I have always stood on this principle: God is love, and everything he does over us and for us is always in the nature of love. and love never gets it wrong. I have held on to that when there are times I felt like myself giving up, when I have felt that my ministry has been an absolute failure. And then I come, but God doesn't get it wrong. He never does. And I trust that this is an encouragement for us today to press on. Let the Lord continue to build in and through us, because his glory is coming and he is faithful.